another thing I wanted to pick up with you from the book was the last couple of chapters move into areas of justice and mission. And I think, you know, I found that really helpful because we can put things in little boxes sometimes, can't we? These little compartments. And I think, well, now I'm doing, you know, prayer time, now I'm doing quiet time, later I'll do mission, or, you know, later I'll you know, be concerned or involved in, yeah, in sort of injustice. But there was a lovely through line in the book, a lovely journey that took you into mission and justice. So I was wondering how that plays out for you in your life.
Well, at the minute, dialing a little bit back from that, it is that idea of breathing in and breathing out. When something's breathing in and breathing out, it tends to be alive and healthy. If we just spend all our time breathing in, you know, like, I've got to have my rule of life, I've got to spend time with Jesus, all of that's great. But Jesus did come down from the mountain. He did come back from when he went to the desert place. He did leave the garden, you know. So the idea of breathing, we breathe God in, but we're called to breathe him out in justice, in mission, in evangelism, you know, and it's a daily process for me. So right now that kind of works. It's just about to go through a stage of upheaval, because next Friday I'm moving back to Ibiza for 3 months, and, you know, living a missional lifestyle there is a difference to living a missional lifestyle here. But I guess I'm looking, John, for that sense of I don't know if I talk about this in the book, I hope is how interruptible am I? If I'm spending a lot of time in the Lord's presence, surely I must get used to his voice. Surely I must be, you know, and I look at Peter and John go into the temple, and they've walked by that guy so many times, you know, the guy who couldn't walk. And that time they turn and go, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And it's like, because they'd spent time with Jesus, because they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, it's almost like they became way more interruptible. They allowed, almost, it's like when I was young, if I messed around at the table, my dad would go, you know, if we were with guests, he would go, and it would be like, you know, that little kind of, you know, it's if you don't stop when we get home, you know, there's going to be trouble. And I think in many ways, the Holy Spirit's a bit like that. It's a bit like, I knew what my dad was doing when he made that cough, because I'd spent time with him. I knew the intonation of his voice. I knew what he meant when he did that. And a prayerful life should lead us to be able to pick up the intonation of his voice and the the little interruptions that he wants to do in and through us throughout the day. So I think it's living an interruptible life is increasingly. I didn't write this, and this came to me after the book, and I so wish I'd got it in there. Maybe there's another book, I don't know. But the idea that we're called to be contemplative activists. I think we've always almost had this thing as well. We're like, oh, I'm an activist, or I'm a contemplative. Actually, no, we're meant to be both. You know, we want to, or in other scenarios, it's like contemplative or charismatic. We can be both. We can be both. You know, and I think for too often we've been a one or the other, and we've kind of like, oh, that's those guys that have old buildings. They do, you know, they're the guys that make all the noise. Actually, you know, we can have we need this. And I think I'm seeing that around the world. I think I'm seeing a greater desire amongst some of the noisier Christian faiths, in a good way, that they're picking up a contemplative practice and a background to it. So, and I think we can be both, would be my. We've developed this app called Lectio 365, which has gone really, really well. But I think it's built some sense of the contemplative into people's lives, but it hasn't said you can't be an activist.
Yes. Yeah. And there are through the seasons of that, there are times where you are often prompted by the app to think about injustice in the world, or roll up your sleeves and do something about it. So there is that. And I think you're right in saying that very often in life we're sort of pigeonholed, aren't we? So it's like, oh, you're one of those, or you're one of those, and, you know, denominations sometimes don't help with this. All right, so if you're part of that denomination, you must be, you know, sort of old or loud or whatever. But I think what that sort of flattens out is the fact that God is working on us individually, you know, like you were saying, that there's a masterpiece being created.
It was funny, you know, when I was doing my master's, my professor said to me that we will, I would often say, oh, they do liturgy in their church. They're a liturgical church. And he said to me, Brian, everybody has a liturgy. Every church has, your liturgy could be getting donuts out and coffee and saying, there's a creche upstairs. You say the same thing every week. And it's funny how that we have in our minds, oh, they're the liturgical church. Well, actually, no, a lot of the free churches, not the new churches, they're just as liturgical. It's a different liturgy.
Oh, it
And
could be like a less formal, but it's still there. This idea, I'm really attracted to the idea of how interruptible we are in the course of our lives, and linking that to time spent with God is to learn his accent, his intonation, his cough. For those people maybe listening who don't feel confident in their ability to hear God, or confident that they have heard from God or will hear from God, what kind of advice would you give in terms of being interruptible?
Well, there's different levels of interruption. So there's the interruption of offer to pray for someone. You know, that's not, you don't really need to think it was that God, because the devil wouldn't want you to do that, you know, pray for someone. So, you know, or I feel I should share a Bible verse with my friend. What's the worst that could happen? Is in my, I know that sounds, you know, so there's that level. There's the kind of like move to China level, which is a whole other ball game. You know, there's the geographical relocation or the employment relocation. You know, you think God's saying it's time to move on from this job to a new job. How do I make sure I get that right? Because we're and there's a number of things. Number one is I don't think God has given us a tight rope to walk on as terms of his will. I think the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I think it's more like an exploration. I could have been an artist. I could have been, you know, this, I could have been that. There was a broad field that my father allowed me to walk in. So I think sometimes to not make it kind of like, so like, oh no, if I fall off, I'm going to be outside of the will of God. You know, that's, especially if it doesn't really involve uprooting your children, you know, or anything like that. There's bits that I think are super easy. The other piece is it biblical? So is the Lord, is this consistent with scripture? Second one is, have you got advice? Are there people you can talk to? Have you got Christian friends who will be honest with you? You know, you don't want to be the person who rocks up the X Factor and sings the really bad song and they all go, you're rubbish. And the person goes, yeah, but all my family told me I was brilliant. You need some people who can give you courageous conversations and be honest with it. So for we moved to Ibiza, and I was the senior pastor of a church. My wife had a really great job. This was the first time we moved, and we had Bible verses, strange prophetic happenings, advice from friends, doors opening and doors closing, and so it wasn't, you know, any one of those events on their own wouldn't have been enough, but a culmination of a grouping of different things kind of thing, I think God is speaking. Now, I know we're called to live by faith and not by sight, so maybe that was quite an extreme call, so the Lord was very gracious to us, but I think there are decisions I have to make now where I won't get as much, you know, confirmation. Sometimes you just have to live by faith. So I think early doors, you get way more signs. The older you get, the more he's saying, right, I want you to live by faith. I think you get more sight when you're young in your faith. And you have to grow into faith. God, I trust you. I feel this is right. I trust I'm going to do it. If it's not right, I'm sure it'll all be okay. I mean, in the end, even with like the geography stuff, for instance, you're like, even with that, you have to say, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is my pride is damaged. I come home and say, I got it wrong. And pride's a killer, isn't it? So, you know, I feel I'm waffling around the subject, John. I hope that's kind of helping.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I liked what you're saying about sort of growing in faith, that as you walk in it more and more, you learn to trust more. And also linking back to something we were saying earlier, you learn to recognize how the Lord will talk to you. And so there'll be familiar things that will that will come up, definitely.
I think as well, sometimes when we feel he's not speaking to us, I wonder if he's calling us deeper. I wonder if he's not really abandoned us. I wonder if he's saying, you've been doing it this way for a while. I want to broaden your knowledge of me. I want to broaden your understanding of my voice. Therefore, I'm beckoning you into deeper practices, into hearing me in new and fresh, exciting ways. Because God is, as we said, creative. So I think if you're struggling with a crisis, it could be that the Lord is actually calling you deeper, you know.
And that links with something else that you'd written in the book about different seasons of life, and sort of trying to recognize the season that you're in order that you can rest in it. Because if you always think it's got to be summer, then when there are sort of winter and autumn times, it's going to be a struggle.
Yeah, the church has been a little bit guilty of promoting a summertime Christianity. We actually need to promote a year-round faith that can deal with all the seasons of life. And I think it is recognizing the seasons. I like what you said. I think once you get a handle on what season am I in, it's easier for you to live in it. But if you think I'm meant to be in summer and the Lord has popped you into winter and you don't recognize that, you're in for a torrid time, you know, struggling to kind of like make sense of it all, when really it's like, this is where I want you to find me right now in this season. And I liked write. I'll tell you what I liked writing about the season, the chapter on seasons. I had a friend once who talked about anchors. There's things that anchor us in certain seasons, and that's just what they are. I had the opportunity to move to another country a number of years ago, and my sons were at the, this was after Ibiza, my sons were at a different stage in their life, and the anchor in my life was, I can't move. Because, and actually, the role I'd been offered was perfect. I would have loved it. So if someone came to me now and offered it, I'd say yes. But then, and I was like, this is works for me. I would be fulfilled. Tracy would be fulfilled. But it was brilliant, 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 brilliant. But my children, I couldn't. My son was just about to go to university. My other son was just finishing A levels. As a season in our life, I had to accept that these anchors mean right now, I'm going to stay here. And that can be parents, that can be health, that can be all sorts. And it's learning to live with the anchors.
And I think you're right in saying that that's what they are, you know, learning to live with that, because sometimes that can come with a huge sense of guilt or a huge sense of shame or regret. And yet the reality is the same Lord that calls us to serve him calls us to be children and parents and grandparents. And
Yeah, he's not expecting us to be anything other than that. And for me, that's really, really important to I just think we've probably tapping back to something earlier. God, the tight rope thing, I think, is just if we could move away from that, as you know, there are some specific times where God will be really, really clear with you, but there are other times where I think it's slightly broader field that he's wanting us to operate in, and therefore it's you've less chance of getting it wrong than you think.
And there's so much freedom in that, isn't there? It's that's really exciting. Brian, it's been so great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
I know, John. Thank you. It's been lovely. I hope I've made sense. And thank you for reading the book. And it's been great to spend this time with you. Thank you.
Thank you. So thanks for the course. We're going to be dipping into that later in the year. How's that been going?
Yeah, it's gone really well. It's, you know, when you see yourself on screen, you're like, ah, you know, and you kind of think, I wish I'd have said this. Because, you know, you try to boil a book down into like five sessions, and you're always going to be beating yourself up. But it's really helped people. It's been an encouragement to people, and we hope it continues to bless people around the world.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.